Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome, welcome, welcome on this lovely Sunday afternoon with myself, Muhammad Lambat, on Radio Islam, medium wave 1548, on our program called the Globetrotting Program. Alhamdulillah, on this show we plan to ease and allay some fears of travel of different destinations of the world. Now, we try our best to talk to high-profile guests if we can and who can explain and impart some good information about their respective countries. Sometimes we want to travel to certain countries, but we are uncertain of the laws and rules of that country, and fear makes us change our minds. And that is so common. That always happens. Now, remember, there's nothing to fear in this global village. Previously, it took months to prepare for a holiday, whereas today, with technology, life has become so simple that we find many traveling abroad in a jiffy that none knows that they have traveled. We hop onto a flight in the morning, and by mid-afternoon or evening, we are across the globe visiting a strange or a different country with totally different cultures. Then you have ticketing. Unlike previously, your ticketing has become so easy that you need not visit a travel agency or you need not go to a travel office or anything to collect your documents, like how we used to have those four-page documents before, or five pages, depending on the number of destinations you're going to, where every country would tear one piece and keep it aside. Today, you just need one reference number. You don't even need a ticket. You don't even need a copy of the ticket. All you need is one reference number. In fact, that reference number is just for your reference purposes. When you get to the counters nowadays, unlike before, when you get to the counter, you present your passport, and that's all. The flight that you're going on, you go to that airline, you go to that counter where you're checking in, you present your passport, and you're done. You don't need the reference number. You don't need anything, because all that appears on the system already. Many a time we find people, when you book the tickets, they tell you, hey, we need the ticket. You honestly don't need the ticket anymore. Well, you need a reference number. If you do have an app, if you are a frequent traveler and you have an app, you do need a reference number, because you are going to put the reference number into the app so that you can manage your flight, where you can select your seats, you can select the meals that you want. You have many things that you can do on the app as far as personalizing your flight is concerned. So you can do that. You can do an upgrade on your app, where when you do an upgrade, obviously you pay, there's a fee that you pay it online and you upgrade your flight. You can do all that on your app. So no need to have a physical ticket in your hand. Even if your travel agent or whoever you're booking from, they can SMS you a six-digit reference number, that's all you need. Nothing more than that. So that is something which I bring to your attention, because I find that many a times when we do bookings, especially like when we go for tours, we go to Vietnam, Azerbaijan, Turkey, whatever it is, then people will tell me, oh, can you send me my ticket, please? I'd like to get my ticket. I give them the ticket, not a problem. But the thing is, it's not necessary. I keep the ticket with me because I just keep it for references and keep all the papers together. But it's not necessary. You don't need that anymore. You just need your passport presented at the counter. But what is very important, which we tend to oversee and overlook, is if you are traveling to any country where a visa is required, the very, very important thing is have a copy of the visa with you all the time. Have a hard copy. Sometimes they wouldn't allow it, or they wouldn't want to just see it on the phone. For example, I had a problem when I was in Vietnam once, and I'm going to Dubai. And when I came to the counter, they wanted a physical copy of the visa. I had it on my phone and I showed it to them, and they said, no, we want a copy. You need to get it printed and you need to get it to us. I found it very difficult, because at that point in time, there was something wrong with my emails where it couldn't send out, but I could receive mails. And I couldn't send out this particular mail to any office or any counter where they could print it out for me. I couldn't do that, but I had it on my phone. Finally, I had to contact somebody elsewhere, somebody from Johannesburg, and tell them, listen, so-and-so email address, please. I gave them access to my mailbox. Get in there and forward this particular mail to an address which I had given in Vietnam, and they mailed it there. Those people printed it out, and I managed to get my visa printed there, and from there I had to get that paper back again and go out from there. So they want a physical copy of the visa. So you will find that sometimes that will happen, and if that happens, you rather have a copy in your possession all the time. So in that case, make a copy of your passport, make a copy of your ticket, make a copy of your visa. And that's what you probably basically not need, but just in case, and you have it with you, so you can present it and continue from there. So that is some tips that I would give you from the experience that we get when we travel. So it's not hard and fast. With some countries, they don't even bother of that particular visa. They would see it on your phone, and they'll issue your boarding pass and say, okay, carry on. And when that happens, it's fine. You know, it's something which I think you it's depends on the operators also. Sometimes you'll go to a country and you'll go to the counter, they will probably just overlook and tell you, okay, fine, you know, I can see your visa, all right, fine, thank you very much. They'll probably give you 5, 6, 7, 8 kilos extra and let you go through. Whereas you'll get some other operators that are so sticky, that will want to see your visa, they'll want to see everything. They'll want to also make sure that you are on that spot on 23 or 26 kilo or 46 kilo, whatever it may be, spot on that. So that is also another important thing to know when you're traveling. So all these basic things, it's something that we should take care of when we're traveling. It is important sometimes. But like I say, do not let it be hard and fast that I do need the ticket in my hand before I fly. You don't need the ticket in your hand before you fly. Honestly, you need the reference number for just in case. Otherwise, your passport is most important. Another important thing is your passport validity. Many a times we find people flying and they book their tickets and they don't realize when after booking their tickets, nobody asks for your passport expiry date. But when you're doing visas sometimes, when you're doing e-visas most of the time, and if your passport is valid for less than 6 months after you travel. So if you, for example, traveling in January, and if your passport expires in May or June, you say if you're traveling 25th of January, and if your passport expires before the 25th of June, that program or that e-visa platform will not accept your passport. It will reject the passport. It will tell you invalid passport. Now, when it tells you that, reason being, it's valid for less than 6 months. So your passport has to be 6 months plus. When you're doing a visa, you have to have 6 months plus. So make sure you get your visa, your passport has to be valid 6 months plus. What happens is when you go to Home Office, you will only pay for a penalty if your passport is more than 6 months valid. And if you apply for another passport, then you'll pay a penalty of 400 rand plus your 400 rand for the passport. But if you go there and if your passport expires within that 6 months period, and you apply for another passport, they will only charge you the once of 400 rand passport fee. They will not charge you the penalty of 400 rand. So within 6 months, you go and you apply for your passport, you won't pay the penalty, and you can get your passport. Very, very important. So make sure that your passport is very, very, it's valid at the time. And today we go to a country that is southern, it's the southernmost country of Central America. It is situated on the isthmus connecting North and South America. It is bordered by Costa Rica to the northwest, Colombia to the southeast, the Caribbean Sea to the north, and the Pacific Ocean to the south. It has a wide range of tropical landscapes, including pristine beaches, rainforests, cloud forests, over 900 species of birds, 1,500 species of trees, and over 7,000 vascular plants. Now, without a doubt, it is a real tropical paradise for nature lovers and outdoor adventurers. It is the ideal country for the closest contact to a rainforest. It's the only Latin American capital surrounded by rainforest, less than 10 minutes away from its center, and with an easy access to 3 national parks. The country that sounds stunning is none other than Panama. Today we are going to Panama. Some of us may not have heard of this country, but after listening to what Panama offers, I hope to tantalize your taste buds to visit this piece of paradise on earth.
And to tell us more of this country with natural beauty is none other than the former ambassador of Panama, who's in South Africa, His Excellency Ambassador, former Ambassador Rodrigo Chiari. Ambassador, thank you very much, Mr. Chiari. Thank you for joining us on this Sunday afternoon. And talking about a country which I had spoken to you some time ago also about, and it's a country which I think it's now becoming a popular travel destination. Thank you for joining us and welcome.
Mr. Lambert, thank you so much for having me again in your program. I remember years back when I was still the ambassador for my country in South Africa, you gladly brought me to the program, and I had the opportunity to share with all your listeners, all of your program, to talk about my country. And I'm so happy to be able to do it now again.
Thank you very, very much. Thank you. Now, as we know, that Panama is becoming a popular destination in the northern part of South America. That whole region is becoming popular. You want to tell us more about South America as a whole, and then we talk about Panama, if you don't mind, please.
Yes, of course. South America, or if we call it the as known Latin America, which is composed actually by the portion denominated as Central America, South America, and partially the Caribbean. No? This is what conforms actually the Latin America. It was countries that back in the late 15th century was discovered by the Europeans. And slowly it got populated not only by the first conquerors, but people from Africa, from Asia, and it became a very cosmopolitan kind of continent. So nowadays, all our countries in democracy, they are flourishing, they have a vibrant tourism activity, they have so many different things to offer to the visitors from all parts of the world.
Now, you look at the whole of South America, the whole South American continent. There's so many different countries that you get on the South American continent. And they all with different languages, I would say, as well. You've got Spanish, you've got Portuguese. Now, the Spanish also is different dialects of Spanish. That is on the whole of the African, South American continent. You want to tell us more about the makeup of the whole South American continent?
Yes, well, obviously, as I said, Central America, which is formed by Guatemala, Salvador, Honduras, Nicaragua, Costa Rica. Now, Panama is considered sometimes as part of Central America, sometimes it's defined as a Caribbean country, and even sometimes they have called it a South American country. In the South American portion, we have Colombia, we have Venezuela, we have Ecuador, we have Peru, Chile, Argentina, Uruguay, Paraguay, Brazil, and Bolivia. And in the Caribbean, we have Cuba, Jamaica, Barbados, Puerto Rico, Dominican Republic. So we're looking at over 20 countries that have their own national traditions, but at the same time we all share many of our traditions, celebrating the carnival, for instance. Some of our foods are very similar. Rice and beans are main crops decor our dishes. And I think that the common denominator of Latin America is that we're very friendly people, welcoming tourists that are willing to come and visit our countries.
Definitely. That without a doubt. That we know for sure. And when it comes to now, we talk of Panama as a country on its own. But the country Panama, as you said, it's more Central America. Now, it's between the Northern America and South America. It's right. It's a spot on in the center. And it's part of the Caribbean. So you can imagine, if you're talking Caribbean, you're talking of the Caribbean, the beaches, the white sandy beaches, warm waters, and so on. You want to elaborate on that?
Yes, of course. Firstly, I must tell that my country is blessed to that both of its coasts are tied to two important portions of water. On one side, the Caribbean, and on the other side, the Pacific Ocean. So visitors can enjoy different types of sports because the waters of each ocean are quite different. The ones that love surfing can go to the Caribbean, and on the Pacific side, you will still find also diving and fishing. Panama is an incredible destination for those that love fishing as a sport.
Yes, and now that is an important thing, because you see what happens is people, when they're looking to go to a destination, they obviously would like to go to a destination that has got city life, but more so, lots of people, when they go for a holiday, especially towards that part of the world, the western part of the world, they look for beaches, they look for relaxation, they look for water sports and so on. Because they're traveling so far from South Africa, they look at all those things in particular. And when they come through to South America, that's obviously what they're going to get. They are sure to get, across the board, water sports. They are going to get, like you said, they're going to get surfing, they're going to get, you'll get all your different types of entertainment when it comes to the ocean and the water. So that is of importance when it comes to Panama also.
Yes, definitely, because we come with beaches on both sides of the isthmus. We come with a numerous amount of islands, even islands that are still inhabited by the original indigenous people that were there when the Spanish arrived back in 1492. So the you will see the people in their own habitat, their own dress, their own traditions, their own foods. Moreover, as I said, Panama being blessed, having two oceans surrounding it, it also allows the visitor to enjoy delicious seafood and fish, a fresh one that you would never even find in other parts of the world.
Yes, having ocean on both sides of your island, obviously, you know, it would be the best when it comes to morning sea catch, the ocean catches coming in, you know, and I can imagine you, the best type of seafood you will get, and it's a small little island, so you would get the best. And what population are we looking at when it comes to the entire Panama?
Okay, the entire population of Panama doesn't reach 4 million people, so we are not a dense country. The country itself is extended over 77,000 square kilometers. So, as you can see, it's actually, there's a lot of space. So we even have space for more people in Panama to come and join us. Not only visitors, but those that are looking for a place to, as a second country.
Well, that's something different. We'll touch on that a little later, but that is going to be something very interesting, because today people are looking for so-called second home. They tend to go to different parts of the world and invest in that country to probably get a passport or to get citizenship or to get temporary residence permits and so on. Now, that we'll talk of a little later in the program. But you said it's 77,000 square kilometers. Now, if you're saying 4 million people with 77,000 square kilometers, you're looking at about 42 people per square kilometer then. So it's not densely populated at all.
Yes, basically, yes.
Yeah, so it's quite an open country. Now, the population of Panama, situated more in the Panama City, or is it across the board?
Yes, definitely you will find the highest concentration of population in the developed cities. But as you travel to the countryside, which is not far from the city, if we compare it to the if you want to go here from Johannesburg to Cape Town, that same distance, if we travel it in Panama, we would actually be already reaching Nicaragua. So everything is quite near, and the accessibility to all those towns by road are there.
Yeah, so that is an advantage, that you're not traveling long distances when you're going from one city to the other, and when you're traveling across the country, where you're doing a full country tour then.
Correct. I think that for the visitor, that's an advantage, because you save a lot of time. It's less costly to go from one end to the other, and you can actually they have value for money when you visit the country of Panama.
Yes, of course. We are coming to a break now. What we'll do is we'll continue after the break and we'll talk more. I want to just ask you more about the country as a whole when it comes to as a holiday destination. But first, we'll continue right after the break.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back. If you just joined us, you're listening to myself, Muhammad Lambat, on Radio Islam, Medium Wave 1548. And we're talking on the travel program, Globetrotting, where we're talking travel today. In particular, we're talking about Panama. We do have the former ambassador of Panama online with us. And we're talking to him about the country Panama. Because we talk many a times about the eastern countries. We talk a lot about the eastern countries because those are the countries which are very, I would say, easily accessible, number one. Secondly, it's accessible throughout the year. That's what I would think, because of the weather conditions in those parts of the world. You find that many of the eastern countries that we talk of, for example, you got Cambodia, you've got Vietnam, you've got Thailand, you've got Laos, Malaysia, Singapore, very much where you can go throughout the year because their weathers are okay for us. But now when it comes to going to the west, we find that towards the end of the year, going to the west is a bit difficult. Now, difficult in the sense where, weather-wise, if you're going to the Americas, for example, it's extremely cold out there. If you're going to Europe, it's also extremely cold in December. Those countries are ideal for, I would say, March, say April, May, right through till September, October. Thereafter, it becomes very, very cold. Turkey, likewise. So you have all those countries. Now, in particular, we have lots of people traveling to the east. But let us change our mindset. Let us look at the western side. Let us look at the timing of the western side. And we look at when is the best time to go there. Mr. Chiari, thank you very much for coming and talking to us on this Sunday afternoon once again. And I thank you for your patience for holding on for us. But as you just heard, that we tend to look at the eastern side. Now, if you're looking at the western side, when is the best time for us to travel to Panama in particular? Because we look at Panama as very much equatorial, I would say. So when is the best time to go to Panama?
Yes, actually, you said something very important. You mentioned the Southeast Asian destinations like Vietnam and Singapore and Malaysia. Panama actually shares that commonality with these destinations because they are all close to the equator. They say that the weather of Panama is basically remains all time long on the year. Likewise, the only difference that you will find is that some of the months are rainier than the others. But if you are looking for a specific time to go, I always recommend that you look anything between December and April. That is the ideal time. The rest of the year you can still come, but you will have to be ready with your umbrella because at any time you'll get wet by the showers.
Now, when you say rainy, is it really? Say, for example, I want to go in November to Panama, which I plan on doing now for November. Now, if I want to go in November, what's the situation for us to go in to Panama in November?
Okay, so November is actually the last rainy month of the year. So you will start seeing at the merge between November and December is when the weather starts getting drier. So it's not bad, but I always suggest that the beginning of December is the best time.
So now, in other words, you're telling me I must now change my plans for going to Panama and rather go in early December. Okay, we're going to have to look at that and see what we can do. But I'm really very much interested in doing a tour to Panama towards the end of the year. Now, when it comes to, we spoke of population. Now, the population is one thing. When it comes to visiting, we spoke a little earlier about people wanting to make it their second home. Can you tell us more about the second home issue there?
Yes. I had the experience because I must also share with you that I had the opportunity to be honorary consul of South Africa in Panama from the year 2004 until 2009. And during that time, I experienced the fact that 30 South African families actually moved into Panama. Reasons, they found it obviously a friendly new home. We are a dollar society. There's no restrictions of exchange rate there. When it comes to investment, to business, it's also very favorable because Panama's taxation system is territorial. So if you think of Panama as a hub for business, that would be the ideal place. We have the second biggest free trade zone of the world after Hong Kong, and the first largest one in the Western Hemisphere. There are so many areas where you could look into investing, go from real estate to tourism, to agriculture, technology, general trade. So definitely, yes, Panama actually has an immigration law and a labor law that is very favorable to foreigners.
Okay. Talking of that, they use the U.S. dollar as well as the Panama Balboa?
Okay. Panama Balboa is just a denomination. The actual currency, people get paid their salaries and they pay their groceries in the supermarket with U.S. dollars.
Oh, I see. Okay, so the denomination is Balboa, but it's a U.S. dollar that they're using. Okay, so now we know the values of stuff when it comes there. Now, for example, if we're using, when it comes to, I would say, cost of living, a can of Coke, for example, is it a dollar or more when it comes to being there?
A can of Coke would be below the dollar. Definitely.
Ah, okay. So it is cheaper there then. Okay, fine. That's understood. Now, you have the different cities in Panama. You have Panama City, which is the main city, I presume. And then you have other cities also, which are major cities. But if one flies from South Africa, we fly straight into Panama, or is there any other places that you go to first, or other destinations which are bigger than Panama City?
No, Panama City is actually the biggest one. It's the capital city. It has the international airport of Tocumen, which has become an international flight hub. Panama has our national carrier has already controlled over routes to 100 cities all the way from Canada to Argentina, but apart from our national carrier Copa, international flights like Iberia, like Lufthansa, like Air France, like Turkish Airlines, they are already flying to Panama direct flights.
Oh, so Turkish Airlines also fly to Panama, so it would be ideal for us if we're flying from South Africa, we fly to Johannesburg, Istanbul, Panama then.
That would be an ideal way to go.
Yes, because there's obviously no direct flights going there. And for but there is an alternate flight. If we go from Johannesburg to Sao Paulo and from there going to Panama, which one would be easier, the Turkish one or the one going to Sao Paulo?
Shorter would be definitely the one from South America, the one that you just mentioned, the Sao Paulo route. But I think that for cost purposes, I understand that even Turkish Airlines offers a good packages because you have opportunities for day tours while you are waiting there on transit.
Oh, okay, so that would be an ideal way of doing it. So go from Johannesburg, Turkey, spend probably, the best would be to spend a day or two in Turkey and from there continue to Panama. And the distance from Turkey to Panama, more or less?
I'm not 100% sure, but that is a flight that we could be looking at something around 13 to 14 hours.
Ah, okay, because you're going across the seas, yes, definitely.
Yes.
Now, your Panama City population, that's being the biggest city, obviously. So your population in Panama City?
It's over a million.
Ah, okay.
Probably a million and a half, yes.
That's majority of your population already in Panama City. Now, talking about that, what about the Panama Canal that we talk of? The world around knows of the Panama Canal. You want to tell us more about that?
Yes, of course. So, Panama Canal is considered one of the biggest engineering works of the 20th century. It was recently expanded 2 years ago. It started its construction in 1903 and it was finalized in 1914. So it has been there for over 100 years now. It's after being built by the Americans in managed by the Americans in the, at the end of 1999, it went back to Panamanian hands. So Panama Canal is proudly Panamanian as from the administration point of view, and we enjoy the Panamanians the income that the Panama Canal generates, considering that it is probably 10 to 15% of the national income comes from the Panama Canal.
Right, I see. Okay, now we talk about, let's talk about the I would say the halal part of it and the religious breakdown. Do we have first of all, do we have Muslims in Panama?
Yeah, definitely. As I said, Panama is a cosmopolitan country. Even though our national language is Spanish, it was a country that, for many reasons, because of trade first, and later on when the construction of the canal, it allowed people from different parts of the world to come. And these people would come with their own cultures and religions. And Panama, the constitution of Panama is respectful of all religions, be it Catholic, be it Christian, be it Muslim, be it Buddhist, you will find all the different, you will find a mosque, you will find a temple, you will find a church, you will find a chapel, and everybody is entitled to preach the religion freely without controversy. The Muslim community has integrated into the business day by day. You will, as a Muslim visiting Panama, you will be able to find halal restaurants and also groceries that are treated as halal.
Ah, so there is halal food also available. And obviously, if that is the case, then you must be having quite a few mosques and major Islamic centers also there.
Yes, definitely.
All right, so that is of utmost importance for our people. Now, getting to Panama from Johannesburg, we said you can go via Turkey. That would be very, very good for South Africans. And what about the visa rules and regulations?
Okay. I had the opportunity while being ambassador of Panama to South Africa to negotiate with the Department of Home Affairs the waiver of visa for both Panamanians coming to South Africa and for South Africans coming to Panama. That means that any South African can come and visit the country for up to 90 days without the visa requirement.
Oh, that's good. So it's upon arrival, you get your stamp and you enter the country. That's something.
No, you get your entry stamp. You don't get a visa. The only thing you need to prove is that you have with you at least $500 each passenger, and you must bring your a round ticket, like so that you're going back out of the country after 90 days at least.
No? Ah, so you got to present your return ticket, and obviously you got to present your hotel accommodation as well.
Hotel accommodation is not really but it's more. It's a plus, but mostly the immigration officer will ask you to prove your solvency that you can remain in the country for an amount of days. Which is $500 is the amount they will. You could show that with credit cards or traveling checks or cash or whatever you travel with, and you must show your return ticket.
Right. Okay. Now, being a country that is now Central America on the equator, your tourist attractions. As a South African, if I come visit to Panama, is it easy accessible when it comes to tourist attractions, when it comes to going to certain places? Because we know that you get many different countries of the world. When you get there, now you look, where do I go, what do I do? The information is very limited. If we can tell our people beforehand already that you go to Panama and there's certain things that you can do. What moral is it? I have an itinerary in my hand which somebody had sent to me for Panama, and it's about a 10-day itinerary, and it gives me a good brief of going into the entire country. Can you tell us of some of the tourist attraction places in Panama?
Yes, definitely. As we spoke a while ago, the Panama Canal is actually one of the main attractions for, and it's a must. You cannot go to Panama without visiting the Panama Canal. But Panama is not only a canal. Panama also has historic sites from the Spanish days, colonial Spanish days, and also the French presence in Panama during the early days of the construction of the canal, because actually, doing a little bit of history, the Panama Canal was, the project was started by the French back in the early 19th century. So those places were left behind. You also have an incredible amount of beaches, coastline, and islands. There's also highlands for those who like to climb mountains. There's also a nice rainforest and jungles that are accessible to the tourists. You have a great variety of trees, flowers, and butterflies. Actually, the name Panama was originally an indigenous name that means an abundance of butterflies and trees. So that is represented on it. Our countryside, all the towns in the countryside, can be a place where you can obtain a lot of souvenirs from different cultures that have been present in Panama, from the African to the Asian to the Spaniard. So shopping is also a because we are a duty free place. Shopping is very popular in Panama for the tourists. You have a lot. We have one of the most interesting biodiversity museums in the world, next to the Panama Canal. Actually, the Panama Canal Museum also that gives you the whole range of the history of the building of the canal, and definitely you will have no spare time in Panama, and even 10 days you might find it at the end a bit short, but it's fine.
Now that is now going towards the Panama Canal. Now that is now as close, I would say, very close to Panama City. Then,
yes, it is definitely. It's actually runs next to the Panama City. You from the center of Panama City, in less than half an hour, you will be in the Panama Canal, and you can enjoy a whole afternoon there because there's lots to see around it.
Okay, from there then you have the next place to go to from there, from the canal, and from what else is there to do after that? If it's, because people only know Panama for the Panama Canal. What else is there after the Panama Canal?
The indigenous village with Panama was still has three of the original tribes that were there when the Spaniards arrived. So each one of these ones, they keep their original traditions and folklore practices. So you will be able to enjoy it. You feel that you are transported on a time machine to the 15th century before the Spaniards came. And then if you move into the old city of Panama, you will see all the Spanish and French colonial buildings that are still there. Even some of the roads are still remain as the original bricks that were used to build those roads. Different churches and mosques that are also considered a touristic site, an immense amount of restaurants for Muslims, specifically the halal, you will find them accessible, and traveling to the countryside, you will also enjoy the to see how all our music instruments and all our ox carts are still there. So it's a real experience, and as I said, the shopping experience is also available for the tourists.
Major shopping centers that you have there also?
Yes, we do, and you find all brands and for all pockets. You know, you can actually find some people in the past from Panama used to travel to United States for shopping. Now the Americans come to Panama for shopping.
Oh, that's something nice. And then more so when it comes to obviously being a colonial country, you obviously want to see what the indigenous people were doing. And are there still indigenous people in the country area?
Yes, Yes, definitely, definitely. The three main tribes, the Kunas, the Chocos, and the Guaymis, they remain there part of the population, and we respect their traditions. The Constitution of Panama respects and remains, because that's part of our history. We cannot get rid of that. It's important. It's part of our heritage.
So if we have to go for a tour, we're obviously going to go into those village areas. Also, we'll be able to go visit the villages.
Definitely, definitely, because they are accessible, they are not far, and they are friendly to tourists.
I was reading something about a jungle boat expedition in the Panama Canal. Is that also where something that we can do?
Yes, definitely, and that's one of an experience, because you will be parallel to the canal, and actually give the same feeling that those people that came all the way from India, from Africa, from Spain, back in the early 20th century to build the canal, that thing still is there. You know, the humidity of the jungle, you can even actually see the fauna still there. You can see the jaguars, you can see the alligators on the caimans on the waters.
All right. So the main attractions are from Panama City. Now, going to the extreme other end of Panama, is there anything that, taking a long drive, probably about a 3-4 hour drive, if you're taking any attractions further down? Because, and how many days do I need to be in Panama for an entire Panamanian visit, I would say?
10 to 15 days would be the optimal time, and a rested time to do your tour, and you will have a pretty much of a feeling of the country with that amount of days.
Okay, so that's ideal. In fact, if there's anybody that's interested in Panama, I think we should all talk to me about it, and let's see if we can do something and get to Panama and come visit Panama. And it sounds very interesting. I've done some research on Panama also. You know, in fact, not only Panama, I've done some research, quite a bit of research on different countries that's in the Caribbean region. We're looking at Suriname also, which is, I just feel I'd love to go to Suriname, Barbados and Panama and all those countries there. So it's worthy of interest. If anybody's interested, you can probably talk to me and let's see if we can go to Panama then. And if you need any other assistance, I can anytime contact you.
Yes, of course. I am... A full-time Panamanian in South Africa, willing and wishing that South Africans have a good time in my country.
Definitely. And now, just before we go, we're already out of time, but is English freely spoken there?
Excuse me?
English, is it freely spoken in Panama?
Yes, definitely. Panama is a multilingual country. Obviously, Spanish is our national and first language, but you will find that most of our population is bilingual, especially those that have to deal with tourists. You know, the hotel people, yes, the restaurant people, the people at the touristic sites, they will all speak English.
All right, okay. Thank you very, very much for talking to us. You know, time, when we say 40 minutes or 35 minutes, it sounds so long, but time just flies past us. We're already out of time. And I thank you for giving us insight into Panama, talking about Panama. But it's a country which sounds very interesting, and I think we should look into getting to Panama and bring the familiarization of Panama to the people of South Africa, because nobody talks of that country. So once again, I would like to say thank you very much, Mr. Rodrigo Chiari, for talking to us about your most beautiful country.
My pleasure, Mohammed. Thank you for having me once again in your program, and I hope that all your listeners are willing and preparing their backs to visit Panama sometime soon.
I will definitely try and attract them to Panama and market Panama for you. Definitely. Thank you very, very much for talking to us on this Sunday afternoon.
Thank you.
Thank you. That was Mr. Rodrigo Chiari, who was the former ambassador of Panama to South Africa, and we became good friends during his reign in South Africa, and an excellent human being. We've had people that we referred to the embassy also who wanted to go visit Panama, and I think it's a country which is on, like last week I spoke about bucket list, and I think Panama must also be on your bucket list. It's one of the countries which is something that, it's a country that we don't really look at because it's on the extreme left hand side of the map, but we should look at that, and we should intend going that side. So let's see, let's put together, if there's anybody interested, let me know, maybe I can join you and we can go together. Let's do that. So inshallah, let's see how it goes. For myself, Muhammad Lambat, until next week, same place, same time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.